In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, it's another Hurstful News update. In today's episode, the Cubs discuss bear pool parties, weight shaming, and the status of the gay bar. Listen in as the Bears share their opinions. Also, shameless plugs, laundry day, and we put a new bear on the COL pedestal. Who will it be? Find out as COL 320 starts now! July 5th, 2015, I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
That makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
And welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast, of Indeterminate Length, episode number 320. And I had some grilled cheese sandwiches, and they were so good.
Rude.
Tomato soup. And for Christmas, my parents give me this like big old soup mug, which is red and it's pretty. And so I was able to, like, when I finished dunking my grilled cheese sandwiches in tomato soup, I got to just, like, it's a mug. So I got a little handle and I could just sip from it. It was awesome.
I'm confused, David. Why is it rude for him to talk about what he had for lunch?
No. I'm talking about the rudeness earlier to start the show. Like that. Cut a bitch off. All right. That's fine.
You all said we were rainy, so it's going to start it off. They said, wait, no, that's fine. And I'm like, too late. Yeah. I had already pressed record when you said that. I couldn't stop.
Hashtag, I'm the producer. I do what I want.
Whatever, I do what I want.
I just wanted to get another copy of the doc open so that I can do hashtags and scroll down and also scroll down another one. But that's okay. We can move on.
We're fine. You can do that while it's a 30-second intro clip. You had time. Anyways.
That needs to be a sound clip. Dave's just sitting there.
Nice warm, anyways. Back to Frost! I am back, baby! 6.2 dropped in World of Warcraft. I'm back to my favorite version of my Death Knight spec of Frost, and not just any. I get to dual wield, and as a dwarf, it's looking freaking amazing, and I love it. I'm so happy.
Sweet.
So, yeah, that's just me. And if anything, just 5 more days of my contract. Ding. So basically nothing's going on for me. Just need to do laundry. Let's make this a quick show.
Uh-huh.
Damon, what's going on?
My gay ass is tired. Oh my god. So this weekend, as we're recording, yes, we had the ruling on the 26th, blah, blah, blah. That's all well and good. Happy, happy day. Yay, cry tears. Talk about it in a special episode. So listen to that one.
Yeah, plug. It was last week. Same week. Yeah. If you didn't get it, refresh.
Plug. Ding. Shameless plug.
CubsOutLoud.com.
Shameless plug. I was all about celebrating, but I couldn't because the 26th happened to be the day that Jim and I decided to get the rest of my crap out of my apartment and to the house. So I spent the 26th moving all of the, some heavy, but mostly the furniture, the bookcases, the bed, very heavy dresser, a desk, couple of other things into the house. Thank you to all the friends and family who helped. Everyone helped a little bit, except for the last two. my realtor, Joe, came and helped take some small boxes of things that miscellaneous that had been packed away. And then he had to go. Then eventually Jen's brother and sister-in-law and their son came over and helped move the bed. They fortunately had a van that was large enough, and it just fit the bed and me and his brother. And then we were able to come over here and get the bed into the house. And then they had to go. And then Ben, his friend Ratchet, and I moved the rest of the shit. So that was two bookcases, a dresser, a rug. Oh, God, a couple of other things. And then earlier in the day, Jim and I, we borrowed our Rock Cubs truck. Woohoo! And got a lot of the other stuff in, too. So with those four loads, various throughout the day, I was able to get all the shit out of the out of the apartment and into the house.
If I was doing the previous Leons, those four loads throughout the day would be an excellent clip to cut up.
You're revealing it now?
Well, that's if I decided to take the time to do another previous Leon.
But so that was that day. But pretty much everything is out of the apartment. All we're gonna do now is clean. That's all that needs to be done. And then I'll be out of the apartment, hopefully in 2 days. So that was that. And then Saturday was Pride here in Cincinnati. And I worked my gay little ass off working the Scorpius booth. I unfortunately did not get to march in the parade. I did not get to see the parade. I was up at 8:30 that morning, and I got home at 9 that evening. 8:30 that evening. So I was at Pride either setting up the booth, working our Scorpius booth. I spent a couple of times. I was able to get around and do a couple of walks around the festival. Big festival, a lot of people. Yay, Cincinnati Pride. And then I was able to sing with the chorus, which was another kind of hour or two away from the from the booth. But I pretty much from when I got to the festival to when I left was working the Scorpius booth. I got to see a lot of friends as they passed by. I got to say hello, got to meet a few people who I've been talking to online forever that I finally got a chance to meet, which was kind of cool. But other than that, yeah, I didn't do much else. And by the time I got home, Jim has been still dealing with some after effects from his kidney stone surgery. So we decided to keep it low key. We ordered a pizza. And just stayed here at the house and chilled and watched TV. And so our Pride festivities basically were sitting at home eating pizza. You know, like
and being proud that you're in your own house.
Exactly.
Not an apartment. House.
Yeah. But I will say that moving sucks, and I'm glad it's at least for me it's pretty much over.
Yeah, and it sounded like you had some good help with Ben, which usually yes. is the most difficult part.
Well, it was not as... It was only difficult because... Fortunately, it was only a twin bed, so it's not as difficult.
Nothing like my king or your
king. No. Nothing at all like the king. Okay. But it was good. It was fine. You know, everyone who came in and who was able to help was able to get just the right amount that they could do and we could do together done to where it all worked out. That we didn't have to do anything today. We didn't have to do anything on like tomorrow or Tuesday. So I'm not stressing about getting out of the apartment by the 1st of July. Mm-hmm. I should be able to get the apartment cleaned in some fashion by the 1st.
So what you're saying at the time that people are listening to this, you're out of your apartment. You're completely in your home.
Yes, I'm completely in the home.
If anybody talks, texts, Facebooks him today, he will be completely in his home. He doesn't need any help yet. All you bitches who didn't show up to help.
Oh, no. I'm not going to bitch about that. I'm happy that those who were able to help did help.
I'm just being snarky.
Yeah, and I'm happy. Well, and there were people that said that they couldn't. Like, I extended invitations to a few people specifically because I knew that they had mentioned, if you need help, let me know, blah, blah, blah. And they weren't able to help.
So, no beer for you.
Yeah. So, but that's fine. I'll be the mother hen, and when it comes time to...
That's fine, honey. You don't need to help. I'll figure it out myself.
So yeah, it's fine. It was good. It was good to get done, and it's done. So
yay!
Yeah.
Gary.
I took a week off, sort of. I didn't really have a lot of things planned. Mom did not need to go to a bunch of appointments. I didn't have places to be. There were no meetings, really. So I had a veg week. I mean, I worked, but I mostly stayed home. I didn't really go places and do stuff.
Hmm.
Which got me back into watching TV and movies. Because I've been pretty busy of late, so I haven't watched a bunch of things. So I think I mentioned previously that I saw Inside Out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The new Pixar movie, and really liked it. And then I treated myself and I went back to the movies and I went and saw Mad Max.
Ah.
Which, according to Scott Johnson of Frog Pants Instance, the Morning Stream fame, is like the best movie ever.
Okay, I don't think I'd go that far, but
in his mind.
Yeah, I mean it is a gritty, visually stunning movie to watch. I will own that. I will also say that I agree with Dave and Alonzo from Linoleum Knife podcast. They're a gay couple that are film critics and Hollywood. They make me laugh because they basically said this movie is a car chase.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much nonstop from the beginning of the movie to the end. And they weren't lying. It's kind of comical because when I went to sit down, I was like, damn it. That's why I don't go to movies much, because if I listen to their podcast, then that's what's in my head when I go to watch it. And I'd rather watch a movie and then listen to critics or read reviews and stuff online. So, but in this case, Adam Savage from Mythbusters has his own podcast called the Still Untitled Podcast. So I stopped listening to that one when they said, okay, spoiler alert, because they were going to talk about things that happened in the movie. And I was like, all right, I'll wait for that. But it's I don't know what to say. It's pretty amazing to watch. And it makes me want to go back and watch the Mad Max original films. Just so I have the concept of the sequence timeline, because this is like a prequel kind of movie. Like, it takes place before the other movies technically did.
Interesting.
So if you can go see it at the movies, I suggest you do. Go on. Well, locally, it's Tuesdays or $5 days. Like, I mean, there's options on
if you want to save a little money.
Yeah. So that would be my suggestion. But it was pretty amazing. And I will say this, probably one of the most badass things I think I've ever seen on the screen is the big rig with all the speakers and a flame-throwing guitar. It legitimately, in a really screwed up way, makes sense in the movie to watch it.
I don't know how. I guess I'll have to.
You have to see the movie for it to make sense, but it's one of the craziest, like, what the? And yeah,
but it makes sense.
It does. Well, when you watch the film in the context of the film, it makes sense. I'm not saying that I would do it, but it makes sense. So it was amusing to me, but also like it plays into the soundtrack of the music as well as for the movie. So yeah. I get back into watching like movies and TV shows a bit. And so I'll save discussing some TV shows for the links later on. But I finally remembered after we recorded our special episode, I did want to say this. I'm thinking I need to get a second job.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Because I foresee this year and next year going to a lot of weddings.
Oh.
And while I may have some disposable income, I am not the bank. So it's going to get real expensive real quick, I think. Mm-hmm. Because the number of people that proposed, that said yes, that announced, I was like, oh my God. Like, I could be going to a wedding a month for the next year, minimum.
Wow.
And I'm like, right. And then, okay, and I'm going to tell you guys this. So I don't think Chuck from Pittsburgh listens to our podcast, but if he does, I ran into Chuck at Pittsburgh Pride. We were talking, and he was talking about coming to a wedding, or he was invited to a wedding, but it was like a long distance wedding. Kind of like when I talked about how I went to my third cousin's wedding. It's a similar thing for him. He was like, oh, he's like, I've got this wedding to go to, blah, blah, blah. And he was debating on whether or not he should go. And everybody was like, if you don't want to go, fuck, don't go. Like, you're not that close to that person. You know, just because it's family doesn't mean you have to go, basically, was the concept. And I said to him, weren't you at a gay wedding recently? Like, referring to, he actually is from where I live now. We didn't know each other at the time he lived here, but he actually is friends with friends of mine. So we're talking, and he says, yes, he did. And then he was talking about how expensive it is to go to a gay wedding. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I was told, and I could not believe that he was told this because I don't agree with it. But he was told that the expected average gift is worth $50 per person in the couple.
Hmm. Why do they say $50 per person in the couple?
I don't know, because
why not saying is worth $100.
Well, right. That's what he says, is that it was $100. And I looked at him and I was like, what? So I was like, who the hell's that? It was $100 for the couple. I was like, oh, no. I will spend that much money for my dearest, closest friends, like my best friends, mm-hmm. having a wedding. And I may not put all of that in their gift. It may be like in my time and my money and, you know, my energy and whatever, you know,
may
come up to that once you take into account the gift card or the gifts or whatever the hell it is. But when he said that, I just kind of looked at him and I was like, what? I was like, oh, hell no. Mm-mm. Nay, nay. So if that is a standard that holds true, I ain't got a loose $100 a month to just throw at a gay wedding every time.
I'm sorry, but just because somebody's getting married doesn't mean you have to that if you're going to give them a gift, that it has to be an expensive gift. It should be something thoughtful or useful, but it doesn't necessarily have to be $100, much less $50. It could be like, maybe if you want to go $50, do a $50 gift card to Target or Sears or something. You know, gift cards are just fine because you know what? That allows them to select exactly what they want. So you don't fuck up on the wrong color of toaster.
Damn you. I wanted a brown one.
It's called take the fucking thing in with the gift receipt and get the right one.
But anyway.
That's too much trouble. I don't know. It's more fun to take a gift card shopping than it is to return one and get a different one.
Well, true. So that being said, that was the thought that occurred to me with marriage equality, you know, now being the issue. I was like, oh man, I said, I'm going to probably go to a lot of weddings. I'm going to need another job.
I'm going to need another job. I need to. So.
Wait a minute. Here's a great solution. What we need here is for me to pay you for these shows. And that will be your second job. Because you do so much work for this show. Dear God, I should be paying you. Not that I'm going to, because I can't really afford to, but still.
That's mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's on the record now. You realize that.
Mm-hmm. I'll work on a Patreon.
Anyways. So.
I don't know. If you guys are interested in subscribing to a Patreon, let us know, cubsoutloud.com.
Boom.
Or is it 361 COL Talk?
Boom.
Yeah, I. Anyways.
Yeah. All right.
Where were we?
Oh, here.
We were on this one. Come on, bitches. Where's the feedback?
Did we check the phone numbers?
Check the what?
The phone number.
The phone? No one called in.
Yeah, no one.
I don't know. They just found out about it. Remember, we pre-record?
Oh, that's right.
So we were telling them last week. Unfortunately, last week is this week as we record. So, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
Give us a call, and we'll play your message.
Right.
Y'all. But no feedback. Mm. That makes
and
me
again,
sad.
Some of that feedback can just you be talking dirty to us too.
Mm-hmm.
But what's even fine is you can call in, talk dirty to us. Don't identify yourself at all.
And hang up the phone.
Okay, talk dirty, hang it up. That way we can play it on the show. Then it could be like the best feedback ever.
The guessing game.
Well, it's not guessing who it is. It's about random
just
people
listening.
Talking dirty to us and the rest of our audience. Anyways, on to this. I need to find a better bumper for that. Urban Dictionary with Gary.
So, in light of all the things we've recently discussed, and now technically Pride Month is over, this is a little out of place, but it made me laugh when I read it. It's called gay crashing, and it's defined as for a heterosexual to enter an LGBT event, such as a pride parade or a festival. And then it explains that Natasha Bedingfield, the artist, coined this phrase in an interview with a Milwaukee podcast for Pride Fest in the summer of 2008, referring to gate crashing, but the person interviewing her heard gate as the word gay.
Huh.
And called it gay crashing.
And it wasn't a podcast, it was Pride Fest.
Well, whatever.
Anyhow.
Anyway. So
that's a funny little word.
Is this an uninvited heterosexual?
No, it doesn't say that. It just says when a heterosexual enters a LGBT event.
Okay, so every single time Miss Tammy goes to a bear event, she's gay crashing.
Well, it doesn't necessarily.
I don't think we could say that.
That's where I wanted to get this clear. Because she would be more invited to that event.
And I don't think gay crashing can necessarily be a bad thing.
Right, right, too. That's true. That's like, oh, Miss Tammy, we didn't know you were coming. You know,
exactly.
That maybe be gay crashing, but, you know, more gay, happy. We're happy that they're there. They're gay crashing. Yay. So I could go with that.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm just.
There we go.
All I'm going to say is people who I have thought have been allies for years, I have been corrected by in the past couple of years.
Wow.
When I made a comment about them being an ally, and I appreciated that, and then I got told in no uncertain terms that they were not an ally, and there was something about them I didn't know. So,
Oh.
So now I just kind of shy away from making any comments about anybody in reference to that.
So sometimes we don't know if they're actually gay crashing or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. We've got this.
News on the mark.
It's the news. Update a list of 20 signs that you're at a bear pool party. Let's round robin this. Let's start off. Okay. Actually, why don't we start at number 20? We'll go. I consider this the other way around. Like the number one that they have on here really should be number 20 in a countdown sort of way.
That might be how they meant to do it.
is what I expect. I don't want to go down to 20 because 20 is kind of like
the ending.
The ending. So we'll do the numbers they provide, but I think that this is more of a countdown sort of thing than a count up sort of thing. So I love a list too, but you always count down lists. Anyways, so I'm going to start off. There's every year around this time in 2013 post about bear pool parties by the author. Who's the author?
It doesn't give it. I don't know.
It's on the Gay Gasp. But the Gay Gasp author says every year around this time, my 2013 post about bear pool parties resurfaces and gets spread around. I felt it's time to give it an update. So here's the update. There's a 50% chance you're not exactly sure who the homeowner is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because more than likely, you've not necessarily been directly invited by the homeowner. You've probably been invited by a friend of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I kind of take issue with that.
Uh-oh.
Why you going to a pool party if you don't know the host?
It's only 50%, though.
It's a 50%, so you might have
really,
it.
No. That's really high. That means half the people at a pool party don't know the host.
Well, and it may just be that they're all part of the organization. They don't exactly know each other between them, but the organization, let's say maybe it's a Lone Star Bears pool party. I don't know the owner of the home, but, you know, Rich said to come on over. We're going to have a pool party at this guy's house. I don't really know that guy, but he's got a pool and there's going to be other bears and people I do know.
Okay. I will grant you that, but I'm still sticking by the fact that 50% is really high because that basically means that half the people brought a guest. like if Damon and I went, both of us would bring a guest that do not know, say Rob and Terry as example, because they have a pool. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, that's a really high number. But that comes from having put on pool parties as the coordinator at a club member's house who used to be the president, is well known. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that's where I'm just like, damn, that's a lot of people that don't know the host. And then that gets to things that are further down the list.
Okay. So are we doing reading these in order?
Yep. Your next statement.
So number two, overheard conversations include Game of Thrones, RuPaul's Drag Race, and news of the latest triad breakup.
So true.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this. It's not necessarily those things, but the same idea. You know, something pop culture and, you know.
Something geeky.
Is something very gay.
Yeah.
And gossip.
Gossip. Gossip.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be gossip.
So it's geeky, gay, and gossip. So it's the three G's.
And honestly, to add another point to that, that gossip could have happened that day at the pool.
True.
Okay, Gary.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with that. Next one on the list. I wonder if anyone ever uses that hot tub, quote unquote. I'm guessing what they mean is that's something that's said at the pool party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been to pool parties where hot tubs are also there. And yes, the hot tubs are used a lot. In fact, like pretty much everyone's waiting to use the hot tub as far as I can tell. So,
well, I think it's more of, and this could be said while in the hot tub. Except slightly changes. I wonder if anyone ever uses this hot tub.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
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 Say no more.
Not a wink. Not a wink. Nudge. Nudge.
All right.
All right. Bong hits have been replaced with vape hits, flavored, of course.
I think it depends on your friends.
Maybe there's a percentage there. You know, there have been replacements, but the bongs are probably still around.
Yeah. Okay. I love this one. There's never enough ice.
Yeah, because usually the ice is melted.
Yeah. I find it rare that you ever go to an event and that they have too much ice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that the Pride Picnic event that I helped coordinate, that has happened twice, that we've had ice left over. But that was mostly because of a we try to predict to the weather, but we don't necessarily get it right.
Yeah.
And I also live by the rule that I would rather have ice left over than to never have enough.
Yeah.
But most often, yes. Like, I know a queen out in San Diego. That's her rule. Anytime she goes to a party, she brings a bag of ice. She never brings anything else. If it's a potluck, doesn't matter. She always brings bag of ice. She always gets in. I think it's a good rule.
They're like, oh, yeah, we needed this ice.
Ice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gary.
There's always one guy who is a little too eager to get naked.
Amen.
Hashtag truth.
Need we say more?
And it is not me, for the record.
And I think, and that's true to a lot of pool events.
How about you, Damon? Is it true for you?
No. Actually, no. I actually prefer, if I'm going to, okay. In any public outdoor setting, unless rules have been explicitly stated otherwise, my swimsuit is staying on.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree.
Yeah.
Unless it's been stated that the hosts have it clothing optional, or it is a no clothes party. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, unless that's been stated ahead of time, then you just presume from the beginning that, you know, you're not to be one that gets naked. But if it is clothing optional or no clothes, yes, there is one person usually who just can't wait to get naked. And it's not because they're a nudist or a naturist.
Now, let's get some clarification. It says too eager to get naked. It doesn't say that they actually ended up naked.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's one of those where it's completely pole driven, they may be doing like the look around and like partially uncover themselves and then recover themselves, hoping nobody notices or hoping the right person notices.
Sneak a peek.
Mm-hmm.
Peekaboo.
Moving on. No, you didn't notice that I didn't answer the question.
No.
Okay.
We already know the answer.
Well, you'll leave with at least one new friend request on Facebook. A year from now, you'll unfriend that person when you can't remember who the hell he is.
Hell, 1 year from now. Hell, 6 months from now. Like, who the fuck is this? Delete. This is kind of, you'll be talking with somebody and it'll be a nice conversation. And then you'll be like, oh, let's be friends and let's talk. And blah, blah, blah.
Let me find my phone. Let me friend you on Facebook.
Yeah. And then nope. Huh. Oh, well. All right. Be warned. Drunk bears plus Beyonce equals a dance off.
Is that really a warning? Like, do you need to be warned about that? I think that's just a given.
Well, it's just a sign. Oh. Remember, this is a sign.
Honestly, it's just drunk bears. Really, it's drunk bears equals dance off.
Dance off.
Mm. Well, and I should say drunk bears plus music, because although, you know, drunk bears might still dance without music.
They might be
they might make their own music. Wobbles,
but they won't, maybe. There might be some weeble wobbin dancing, but there might not be as actual dancing. But no, and it doesn't have to necessarily be drunk. Sometimes it's just the right music.
Yeah, so sometimes you could just leave out one part of that equation and it still equals the same.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think they're saying that Beyonce brings out the dancer in bears.
Are you single ladies? Are you single ladies? Are you single ladies? Are you single? Put your hands up.
Okay. All right, Gary.
You'll judge sexual compatibility based on how well he rims a Jello shot. I disagree with this.
I disagree as well. As one who does that really well,
Okay, so it's more about rimming than it is by full-fledged sexual capability. Maybe he's just a good rimmer. I mean, look at that tongue.
Mm-hmm. I will. Go ahead. Go ahead, Gary.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to make some snarky comment that just because he can use his tongue to get the Jell-O out of a Jell-O shot does not necessarily mean that he knows what to do with it when it comes to your ass. True. I see how you could make that connection, and I could see how you could be watching him, and he'd be all, right, and you're like, oh, I'd like to try that out, you know. But your hole is not a Jell-O shot. I'm just saying.
It demonstrates the flexibility of his tongue.
Yes, but if he's a bear, he's probably a slightly bigger boy, which means he loves Jell-O. Head a Jell-O shot. It does not mean that he likes to eat ass with as much energy as a Jell-O shot.
With as much fervor.
Right. Because your ass is not full of alcohol.
Or Jell-O.
Well, it depends on the party you go to. I think of so Alan, but anyways.
Oh, wait. No, there's gelatin in there.
Oh, God.
There's okay. Just not necessarily any water in that gelatin.
Okay, moving right along.
Mm-hmm. I have been known to make Mountain Dew Jell-O shots.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I may have to think about that. I may have to talk to you.
It actually involves following the directions, but replacing Mountain Dew with water.
Sweet.
Or the water with Mountain Dew. Right. But you follow the directions exactly.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Dew and alcohol. Go, move on. Yes. What's
sex, drugs, and rock and roll. All the really scandalous stuff happens in the bathroom.
Hashtag truth.
I was going to be like,
Damon, you should actually put in our hashtags, you should put hashtag truth each time it's said.
Oh, God, no. I would never stop.
This will be the score.
That'll be like every other one.
Yeah. But I will. This is very true. I have not been the party in the bathroom, but I have been the party waiting for the bathroom.
Well. Something has been going on.
Oh yeah,
in the bathroom.
Like oh, oh, and wait. You just kind of listen, and you hear stuff going on, and then you knock, and it's like cats, like, stop. And then you go, okay, I know what's going on in there. So I'm just gonna stand. I'm gonna either stand here and wait, and be polite to the couple or whoever in the bathroom and let other people pass, like, oh, you know, it's occupied, you know, whatever, or I'm just going to move right along and find another bathroom. I've done that too.
If there's more than one bathroom.
If there's more than one bathroom, which there has been, fortunately. But again,
if they have pools, they probably have more than one bathroom.
Again,
mm-hmm.
If you are partaking of activity in the bathroom, please be a little respectful, just mindful. A little.
No, sorry. I'm going to completely disagree with you, David.
What?
No, you are already not being respectful by using the bathroom that way. So well, sure. I'm not giving you that pass. I'm sorry. That's a no. Being a person who has coordinated these events, been at a pool party where somebody commandeered the one and only bathroom in the entire house and fucked in the shower, and it's not even their house or their pool party.
Okay, would you rather have them fuck in the shower or would you rather have them fuck in your bed?
I'd rather have them not do it at all.
True.
It's a pool party, not an orgy.
I only gave you two options here.
I don't care. There's always a third option. Captain James T. Kirk, take that and put it in your Funko Wagnalls. So, yeah, I just – I was – I'm totally of the camp of no. If it has not been dictated that way, your horny hole or dick or whatever it is needs to find another place.
Yeah. Humph.
Humph.
I will say this. I will own, because it has been publicly mentioned, which I'm not proud of, that the side yard is an option.
I knew it.
I will say this. I would rather have them fuck in the shower, because that means they could just turn on the water and rinse off.
While that's fine and that's true, it is commandeering a place that really needs to be used by people. And if for some reason someone eats something and it does not agree with them, I would rather that they're able to use the bathroom and flush the toilet and spray the Febreze air freshener than being forced to, I don't know, use the kitchen sink, like, you know, using the side yard next to the pool. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Enough of that.
Moving right along.
Damn. 11.
Bear moose knuckle will be plentiful. Some perfectly presented and others uncomfortably compressed. Again.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hashtag truth. Hashtag hallelujah. Because if there is no sex per se, there is at least some gawking. And I love a good, like, just package, just like, even if it's kind of maybe even uncomfortably compressed, you know, at least it's there. Mm. At least you can see it. But I am happy that there are bears out there that can are wanting to wear a bathing suit that is one,
Revillian?
Two, three sizes too small. If you are happy wearing that, by all means wear it. But don't get mad when you're uncomfortable within the first 30 minutes or 15 minutes or how you get there and you're already uncomfortable. Because, you know, you're the one that chose to wear that skimpy little bathing suit because you thought it'd bring all the bears to the yard. But, you know, you're going to have to deal with that. And after a while, things start to chafe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not comfortable. Ooh. But as a voyeur who happens to like looking and seeing those things, I'll be more than happy to help you with your package.
Free it from the confines?
Free it from its confines.
If just going moment, to the bathroom.
Just not in the bathroom.
Not at my house. And I'll Lord help you if I get the tummy gurgles and you're in the bathroom fucking.
All right, they'll take.
I'll break down the door and come in. Anyways,
moving on, Gary.
This is so not going the way you wanted. Anyways, someone is still having sex upstairs again. Yep. Not an orgy.
If okay,
an orgy.
If that's part of the party, because I have been invited.
A bear pool party plus orgy.
Yeah, sort of.
What's the sort of business?
No, okay. God damn it. There are...
Gary, the curmudgeon.
There are...
I'm just trying to clarify.
There are certain hosts of certain parties, bear pool parties, for example, who, let's say, keeps the invitation open. They will allow people to do things, but they don't necessarily advertise it on the invitation. For some, it is a well-known fact that you are coming to this party. Yes, there will be a pool. Yes, there will be plenty of bears frolicking in the pool, but there'll be just as many frolicking upstairs, or some frolicking upstairs, or a few who partake. And if not upstairs, then there may be a room set aside where they can frolic and play.
It'll be bear frolicking.
Yeah. I would say this. if your hosts are that open and it is a pool party with the option of sex, then yes, having designated spaces makes way more sense. But commandeering bedrooms or bathrooms or closets or staircases or whatever is rude.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I'm not saying no, but this is kind of where we go along the lines of our when you put a gaggle, I was going to say a gaggle, gaggle of gays together, is sex almost always a
possibility.
Possibility.
Yeah. Not to say it's going to happen necessarily, but possibly. And you know what? You could actually apply this to pool parties during bear runs at hotels. Sure. Someone's upstairs in their room having sex.
Yeah. Okay.
There. And that's not rude.
No.
Moving on. No one will answer the door or let you in. The door will just be open.
I have to say that's about hosts that are not on their game.
There at least will be a closed door, because especially if this is a closing optional pool party.
Oh yeah.
You don't want just anybody just walking in.
Yeah. But I how do I put it? I agree with you, Gary. I think sometimes it would depend on the host. You know, there are some parties where the people would, you know, have the door open, quote, as, because it's easier. Like, everyone's going to be in the back of the house, you know, at the pool party where it were. So, you know, there's not going to be really a host, and no one may not hear the doorbell, blah, 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 blah. So, oh, you know, the party's from here to here, you know, be here by that time. Set those parameters, of course. If you don't, then yeah, you're kind of a poor host. But at least you know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will own having hosted dinners and socials and meetings and been the coordinator of these things. I don't think ever has the host been right at the door to greet and let people in. But I think Martha Stewart, Miss Manners, Ann Landers, and that whole cavalcade will say, shame on you. Mm. A proper host would be there to greet someone. So that's where I'm coming.
And then there's the whole, like, is this a, like, quote-unquote private bear pool party, meaning this is just someone who happens to have a pool. We'll use Robin Terry as an example. And like, oh, we're going to have people over for, you know, party, blah, blah, blah. Okay, no big whoop. Whereas, is this a group, public, quote-unquote, pool party where a bear organization has put together an outing and this person who's a member of our group happens to have, you know, the pool?
Honestly, I think you're just thinking too much about this list.
Move
on. No. Damon. Nope. Damon, actually, let's see. No, this is 14. Go ahead. I have nice. My. There's a reason why I was going to say something. You'll find.
Okay.
But you go ahead with just 14.
Someone will try to give head underwater and fail miserably at it.
Enough said.
Enough said. Hashtag truth.
I think we're good on that one.
We can blame porn for that.
We're also almost 50 minutes into the show. In any case, Gary, why don't you take both of these next two ones? Just because. Well, they're kind of related.
Yeah. Mm.
So you'll run into the guy you've been ignoring on Growler. You're also going to run into the guy who's been ignoring you on Growler.
Hashtag
pictures.
Hashtag circle of life.
Hashtag obviously not interested. So, I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. I rule it two ways. If I'm in the same space as you and you're not replying to my posts and I'm not replying to your posts, then obviously we're not interested. One of us is not interested. So just move on.
I don't know about this next one. Don't be basic. Your Spotify playlist shouldn't have commercial. Basically, you're saying you should have Spotify premium so you don't have commercials. Mm. is basically what they're saying here. Here's the thing is, I don't necessarily think that the music is going to be played through Spotify. They're going to either have their own mix of music they have, or they're just going to have the radio on, or it's just going to be a bunch of bears cringing to whatever CD is playing or radio station.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be Spotify.
Right. I think what they're saying is if you have a subscription service, pay the extra bucks so that you don't have to listen to commercials.
Yeah.
And I think the reason behind that is because commercials can be distracting. Like, yes, music isn't the primary thing that's going on at the pool party, but it sets a tone and a groove, and people could be having a good time and blah, blah, blah. Well, and then all of a sudden,
Gary,
like,
I can't hear the music when I'm trying to blow somebody underwater.
Well, that's you. not everybody has their head underneath water or in the bathroom or whatever. So
I'm just saying.
Moving right along, bellies, all the beautiful bellies.
Hashtag truth.
That is appropriate for Damon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellies.
Bellies. Okay.
Gary.
Looking through the array of red and blue coolers, you'll ask yourself, who the hell brought Smirnoff Ice? Actually, I want that corrected. I think the question should be, who the hell brought Zima?
Did they even make Zima anymore?
They do still make Zima.
Yes.
Wow.
Smirnoff Ice is still somewhat popular, I think.
Yeah.
Especially the flavored versions. That's why I'm like, no, Zima, then you'd get called out.
And last but not least, the last tip number 20. Tip! It usually takes a minimum of 3 noodles to make to keep the average bear afloat. And that, folks, is the top 20 signs you're at a bear pool party. Woo!
All righty.
Forgot I had that.
Okay. So, moving right along. Speaking of bears. The next article.
Gary.
So this one came up when how old is the article? Okay, it's from February of this year. But I think I saw it recently within the past month, maybe in May. And it says that the article title is "Are Overweight Men in LGBT Community More Stigmatized?" And I thought it was an interesting op-ed kind of perspective about how gay men struggle, let alone coming out. And then if you're overweight and you're struggling with your identity, it's worse for you.
Hmm.
That gay culture specifically focuses on, per the media majority, it's mostly about, you know, this perfect thing. I thought it was interesting that early on they say this kind of run-on sentence that says, if you're overweight, it means you're unhealthy. If you're underweight, it means you're unhealthy. If you're at an appropriate weight, it means you're unhealthy. But if you're an obnoxiously stacked, muscle-enhanced, gym-addicted, sculpted physique, you're perfect. I think that sentence kind of sets the tone of the author.
Yeah.
Because I don't fully agree with it. I don't think that that's true across the whole community. Yeah. I can see how we're sold that, but I don't think that's fully true. Because if that were the case, then when I walk into any bar, anywhere, in any city or town, I would expect to see a hell of a lot more Adonis body types.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how else to say it, but humans are sheeple and they will do whatever it takes to be accepted.
Yeah.
So I see lots of men wearing fashion designer clothing, but they don't have six-pack abs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm getting at? Like, I don't think the physique is the focus.
The new feeling about dad bods.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I don't need a six pack.
Right. I think they say to themselves, I can look okay with like a 34 or a 36 inch waist, and I'm not fat, and I'm not overweight. Well, maybe your BMI is, but do you know what I mean? Like that, like you're kind of average.
Quote unquote. Well, in BMI, it means that if you have any body fat whatsoever, you're overweight.
Yeah, but it's
ridiculous.
Ultimately, what I get from this article, to kind of shorten, to keep it short and sweet, is kind in a way, yes, we are, but at the same time, it's more of the perception that's the problem than it is the actual doing, you know, like and not so much nowadays. Like if you look on TV now, there's people of all shapes and sizes, gay characters of all shapes and sizes that are out there, you know, being gay on TV, blah, 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 blah. But you're also, you're not dealing with that. Well, like Will and Grace as comparison to say Glee. Where Glee, you had, yes, you had the younger kids kind of in the smaller term bodies, but you had characters like Dave Carosti, you had characters like Shannon Beast, who were larger people, but were still out there, you know, being gay, whatnot, you know. So it's changed, but it's not perfect.
Right. And there, it's towards the end of the article that I finally kind of get at the heartbeat of what this person's saying. They say, we can preach all we want about how tolerant we are, but it's very obvious that bigger people are forced to stand at the back of the bus. And that comment, I think, is about society in general, not about the gay community.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and says, it seems like gay people are more prejudiced about weight than any other, than they are about race, age, and any other issue prone to misconception. It's not unusual for a bigger person to feel like an outsider in his own community. How have we let this continue? More so, how can we try to stop it? Which is the end of the article. So I thought it was interesting that they were asking questions like to be thought provoking.
Yeah.
And I think the, I don't know, I think the core of it is, hey, like if we're supposed to be so tolerant and accepting because we've been, you know, treated negatively, why are we doing that within our own community? And yeah. I think that's a big question, and it goes across a lot of different lines.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was kind of like, So I'm not going to say that it's clickbait. You know, that the title doesn't have a valid article tied to it. I was like, Yeah, I don't know. But I've noticed over the past year or two here with doing the podcast that there's a lot more articles focusing on accepting who you are, regardless of what your size is and that kind of a thing.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's people are starting to think about it more, that it's like not as stigmatized.
Yeah.
And he's just realizing, hey, you know what? I think we've been like bigots and stigmatizing these people, like, and being mean to the fat guys all this time.
Yeah.
And now we're being a little more accepting to them. And that it actually is improving. Hasn't improved enough, maybe?
No.
But still.
And I think there's another reason why topically this keeps coming up, and it's just because our specific American society is just getting fatter, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can look at all the numbers from all the studies and statistics, population-wise, since we were born until today, people are just bigger, period. And I think that's interesting because now more than ever, we're all, like, being more health conscious about it, even though we're not quite doing anything about it nationwide, per se. And at the same time, I think that's why this comes up more and more. I also think that's part of the growth of the bear community and the chub community. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's corollary. I think it makes perfect sense.
And by growth, we don't mean necessarily mean by waist size.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
All righty. Moving right along. And these, I think, are these two articles kind of wrap, are kind of in and of them, not in and of themselves, but are related.
It's the case of America's disappearing gay bars.
This is from back in January, and it's from a website called punchdrink.com, which I find very interesting. It's not necessarily a place I would have expected to get an article like this, but it's a little lengthy, but it starts off explaining about what gay bars were like before there were even gay bars, quote unquote, yeah. How they were underground, they were hidden. It was a dark space that you could collect together with other individuals because society marginalized you. Mm-hmm. And you needed to feel self-empowered by being around other people that you could relate to. Times have changed. You know, we just did a special podcast about marriage equality. And so the article kind of addresses the fact that as society has changed and, quote unquote, there's more acceptance or homogenization.
Yeah.
That the purpose of gay bars has shifted and possibly become antiquated.
Yeah.
And I find that very interesting because I've known that it's been happening for many years. I mean, here in my hometown, we only have one bar, and there's kind of some discussion about what happens when they close. And I'm like, well, that's it. There is no bar.
Yeah. And
where other bigger metropolitan areas have more population, therefore they can host more businesses.
Yeah. There are two things I know I do want to talk about this, but for in regards to the gay bar thing, I've noticed that decline, especially here in Cincinnati. When I moved here in 2002, I was shocked at the number of gay bars, gay and lesbian bars that were in the city. There was an area in Northside where there were four on the same block. Serpent, not the same block, shit. Three on the same block. Serpent, Bullfish's, which was the lesbian bar, and Jacob's were like literally across the street from each other in a way, and they were just all kind of there. And it just was like, it was amazing to me that it was amazing to me then that there were so many. And now several of them have closed for one reason or another. But Golden Lions, which I believe was the oldest gay bar, closed many, many years ago, I think in 2008. And its close kind of said a lot to this community about, you know, what this article is kind of talking about, you know, because it was the oldest one. It was near UC. So it was near the college campus. It was kind of a, you know, place where young people could go and be, you know, accepted. And it was also obviously because of its age, had a very established crowd and audience. It's now a hookah place.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with some of the things that were mentioned in here that, since we have kind of, as we've become more accepted, the gay bar is not necessarily the safe haven, quote unquote, that it once was. It has now become, I love the part about it kind of becoming a circus. Someone, I think, commented on that, where the straights can go and look at our lives and all that stuff. Not necessarily point and laugh and, you know, look at the monkey kind of thing, but just it's becoming a little bit more, gay bars have kind of blurred their lines to where they're now more gay and gay friendly, quote unquote. And I don't know how I feel about that 100%.
Well, and I think there's a reason behind that, Damon. We're the crossover generation. We're the generation that has the knowledge of what it was like to have an exclusive space. And now we're seeing what it's like to not have an exclusive space.
Yeah.
And I see the younger generations not caring because they're like, it's just a bar. Like,
yeah.
Gay bars tend to have, as I've been told by heterosexual individuals, better music, better drinks, better entertainment.
Yeah.
Than going to quote unquote straight bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why they like going there. Cause even if there's a cover, the cover charge tends to be a little cheaper. The drinks are poured heavier, priced better. Like, I mean, there's a laundry list of things as to why they like them. And I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I also can't disagree with the bar owners who are like, I would like to stay open. I want to keep my my ability to live my life the way I do going. Yeah. And by doing that, I'm going to allow people to come into the establishment.
For example, and I don't want to do this, but I'm going to have to do this because it kind of bothered me when I heard it. The Serpent here in Cincinnati was a established leather, quote unquote, bar. It was more known for its more risque times. People went there to play. It was a cruise bar, you know, although people don't want to admit that, that's what it was. It closed and was bought by the owners of another bar, another gay friendly bar here in town. When they reopened the bar to, as they mentioned, to reflect the area that it is. So it became, instead of another leather bar, it became a martini lounge, piano bar, very eclectic kind of sense. It was pretty much, I'm going to use the word catering to all aspects. The very, you know, the social gay, but also the heteros that want to enjoy a, you know, like you said, a nice bar that has, you know, that pours heavily, that has great drinks, blah, 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 blah. The owner was interviewed for an article, and one of the things he said is, he said, the leather bar is a thing of the past, or is not needed anymore. And it kind of bothered me, considering his established history with the leather community. And it like I said, it bothered me more because, considering you, the day before I read about the article, just hosted at your bar, your other bar, a leather kink education, you know, weekend or day. And I'm just now getting this article where now you're kind of like, well, there's no need for a leather bar. You know, I don't know how.
Maybe he's more referring to there's no need for strictly leather bar. We'll have leather nights.
Yeah, maybe I can find the article because I think my friend Ben sent it to me. But it's one of those things. It rubbed me the wrong way. And once I find it, I will kind of mention it. But it was.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Damon. But at the same time, I'm like, I mean,
No. Here it is. The gay leather bar has served its time.
So just referring to gay bars in general.
The gay leather bar.
Right.
Has served its time. That's the exact quote.
Okay, so the gay leather bar.
Yeah.
The gay leather bar.
Yeah. Well, and I think that part of that has to do with the leather community, though.
Yeah.
Whether anybody likes it or not, the leather community also has transformed itself. Not necessarily, I think, in a unified direction. And I say that as an outside observer because I get confused by clubs, organizations, what they stand for, how they represent themselves, where they meet. I mean, like, it's just, you know, the only things that I know of definitively in regards to leather are like events, not, you know, meeting spaces or bars and stuff.
And I mean, and
part of that's changed, though. I mean, I will own, 20 years ago, God help me. You know, if I went to a bar and there was a leather bar, like a floor of the bar was leather or the whole bar was leather, you knew in advance you could not get in without leather on.
Yeah.
Period. And that changed. And now more than ever, I don't know of any places that really have a strict dress code.
Yeah. Some do, some don't. It's all relative to what they were doing. There's a bar in Louisville, for example. They don't anymore, but they used to have an area that was quote unquote, it was meant to be strict leather, but it wasn't. It was either strict leather or take off your shirt for men. And it was for men only. And I to get back to the topic, I am happy that there are owners and bars and whatnot that are wanting to open their, keep their doors open. It's a business after all. And if the gays aren't coming because of, you know, Growler and Scruff and Grindr and all that stuff are choosing not to, you know, buy drinks and everything, then yeah, you need to find a way to keep your doors open. And that may mean making your bar a little bit more gay and gay friendly as opposed to just gay. There are, I mean, I am happy that with the exception of one bar really here in town, most of the bars here have no cover unless they're doing some kind of special event. That's rare, I think, nowadays. On the flip side of that, it does tend to keep the, you know, it open to whoever wants to come into the bar. You know, whether you're an ally or not. We can't not let you in, even though you may cause a problem, but, you know, there's that whole, I like the idea. Sometimes I like the idea of covers because they can potentially weed out any problems at the door.
Well, so I think that gets to towards the end of the article. There's a great sentence. It's kind of broken out as its own paragraph. It says, but to some, spaces, quote unquote, for everyone, represent the end of sanctuaries that a more overtly separatist gay culture built in the 1970s and the 80s. To others, it's just the next logical evolution in a city where gay people have been assimilated into mainstream nightlife culture.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what the struggle is currently, is that I don't know how else to say it. I mean, these are really horrible labels. The only thing that comes to mind is like old school, new school. Like, it's older generations and younger generations, where, you know, there was a time when you wanted a sanctuary, quote unquote. You wanted the ability to be able to get away,
yeah,
from your family, your work life, whatever it was, and be around, you know.
Yeah. And I've, that's true. Like, once again, like when I moved here, to me, going to the bar was sort of the release from the weekend or the week. Like, oh, I worked all week. Oh, I did this. And oh, I did this. But now I've been around these people that don't really know me for so long all week. Now I can go to the weekend and go out to the bar and have a drink with somebody and be around people who are like me. That's not so much the case anymore. Kind of, but not really. You know, I don't have as much fear. There kind of still needs to be, but I don't have as much fear. I'm more open at work. I don't feel oppressed in my day-to-day life. So I kind of don't have to have that sanctuary or that safe space or that release, like-mindedness. I don't need that as much anymore.
Right. And I think that's part of the situation about the whole, as we become more and more a part of the broader society and we don't need to fight all the battles, we only have to fight some of the battles. I think there comes this, I don't know, this thing within the community that we don't have to necessarily collect together as much.
Yeah.
But that's why I say, you know, in another, excuse me, in the years to come, you know, the concept of pride and how it began and all that stuff may be more of a historical context than something that actually happens.
True.
So I don't know. That's that. And so tying back to this article and the next article about gay bars and their diminishing, you know, prevalence, I don't know. It's difficult. There's a part of me that says, from the capitalist, you know, consumerism side, if you're a good business and you're doing a good job, then you'll be in business.
Yeah.
At the same time, you'll also modify your business model to meet the needs of your customer base. So therefore, you may, you know, allow anyone to come into your establishment as long as they're respectful and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I could see where, like, let's draw a different parallel example. Let's say it's more about ethnicity than it is about the gay community. Let's say that you own a Korean grocery store. And obviously, when you first establish yourself, the Korean community is most likely going to be your customer base. But as Korean cuisine takes off in the American palate, you see other individuals coming in and trying to purchase items from your store. Would you not want them coming in and buying things?
No.
Most likely, you would be happy that they're coming in and buying things because it's more product that moves, more potential revenue, and then, you know, money you can reinvest in your business and, you know, put in the bank and all that kind of stuff. So to me, it's a conundrum. I don't know if there's really a good answer about it. I just think it's unfortunate that it's happening. But also there's a concern, I think, within the older gay male community, more so than probably in lesbians, that, you know, we used bars not only as a community basis, like as a space, but it was also a way that we met for a whole list of reasons. And with less and less bars available, there's less social integration.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the community becomes less aware of itself, has struggles with identity, and potentially, you know, lacks its own identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why don't we go to the other article?
Yeah.
Because that one's more about, like, that gay bars are disappearing. The second article tied to the topic was from the beginning of June, and it says why we still need our gay bars. And this person took on an interesting stance about how they're from DC and they've only been out for 4 years, which is relatively recent. And that they said they served a purpose for me, and I think they serve a purpose whether anybody wants to recognize it or not.
Yeah.
And that purpose being that if you want to be a happy and healthy individual, we need gay bars as previous generations did, because that's where we meet ourselves.
Yeah.
That's where we learn about ourselves. That's where we get a sense of identity. That's where we connect with the community, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I agree with this article. I think that we still need gay bars. We still need them in some way, shape, or form, whether it's as a safe haven or as a entertainment space that's mostly our own. You know, I keep relating to this bar, but Below Zero here in Cincinnati is coined a gay bar. They have the Cabaret upstairs, which is a drag bar. They have grown more open to everyone, which is fine. However, it tends to not allow for, if I were going to seek solace in another, you know, gay person, I wouldn't really be able to, I may not be able to do that because the person next to me might not actually be gay. And there's the whole, you know, like bachelorette party and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. As a matter of fact, the event I was mentioning, the Kink U event, was planning on going back to the bar last week or when they had their event. And they got there and I was like, oh, there's a loud bachelorette party. We're going to go somewhere else. Because that was not what they were there for. They wanted to try to support the bar, but they also wanted to have their kind of their space. And that is still needed. Even if it's, even in this social media world where you can pretty much get the sex part, at least, you know, delivered to your door within 30 minutes, you still need that community, and the gay bar to me in some ways represents that community.
Wait a minute. There's a sex a pizza place? I can wish. Order some sex in 30 minutes or less.
I wish.
It's never taken more than an hour for anybody who I've tried to pick up to come over to my place.
You're not trying hard enough. No.
Oh!
No, no, I'm kidding. Sort of.
It's sort of.
It's not that, but it's just it. The whole like desire to be around like your like people, even if it's people who may not be interested in you. At least you're hey at a bar that's gay and can have it with the bartender who's also gay. And, you know, it just kind of has that community. I don't think our community would be what it is without the gay bars. You may have the activism in some ways, but, you know, there were times when the gay bar was where people, the activists met.
Correct.
And had their meetings and had their talks. There are organizations still to this day that specifically meet at the bar because that's where they, you know, congregate. It's just, you know, everyone kind of knows. Like, Gary, in your area, there's that one gay bar. Everyone knows it's there. And probably when someone was a 20-something or an 18-year-old and they just came out or a teenager and they're like, oh, I, you know, they probably hear about the bar and know it's a gay-friendly bar, gay establishment, and they can't wait till they turn 21 and they can go in the bar and drink. Or they turn 20 and get a fake ID. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and also don't forget, you know, gay bars were the starting point of very specific things that happened in our community. You know, as we talked about previously in regards to Stonewall, they were also the places, I mean, that's where individuals could meet together to find each other to create organizations.
Yeah.
And then, you know, turn into, you know, I don't know, places that we have now. Because there was a time when there was no such thing as the HRC or the LGBT Center of San Diego. There just wasn't. Those things didn't exist. So bars were the places that people gathered together. And so I think that they serve a purpose in a way. I think, again, that's more about the ownership and stuff. Like, one of the things I remember years ago is I was talking to an owner of a bar in Pittsburgh, and he was kind of grumbling and moaning about how, like, you know, the bar attendance was down and so on and so forth. Well, that's fine. You know, he closed one of his two major bars to join them together so that way everybody would go to one bar, which eventually that didn't work, and they're all closed now. But anyways.
Yeah.
You know, I said to him as an idea at that time, I mean, we're talking like, oh, hell, how long ago was this? I don't even know if it was 2000 yet. I told him, I said, you know, you could probably put some computers in here. And he's like, why? I was like, because everyone's always online. Like, and specifically at that time, I was thinking like Bear 411.
Yeah.
You know, this is before smartphones and that. And he was like, why should I, what was it? His comment was something about, why should I put these computers in here to have them just sit here on the computer and not, you know, socialize here when they'll just do that at home? And I'm like, yes, but here you'll sell drinks.
Yeah.
Like, in the back of my head, I'm like, you're missing the point. You need to push liquor, bitch. So the way you get, the way you move the booze is to get them to come in the building. So, you know, anyways, the thing that turned out of it for me was those bars that I think that are successful, that do well, they are well integrated in their community and do things on levels that aren't really done a whole lot as much anymore. Like, in my hometown, everyone that is aware of it talks about a bar that used to sponsor softball tournaments and games, had potlucks, like just did a lot of community stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a buy-in and a feedback loop. You know what I mean? So like, and that's the one thing our bar currently doesn't really do a whole lot of. They do some fundraising stuff. There's a breast cancer awareness benefit thing that comes up in October that's done, but that's not by the bar. It's by somebody who's well organized and committed to organizing it. Like,
yeah.
Coordinating it, that the bar allows them to do it. And there's once a month drag shows. Okay. But that's about it. There used to be jazz brunches. There used to be other things that happen on a real regular basis. And then the ownership management kind of changed, and they don't really do that stuff. They used to be much more supportive of like the rally and the picnic, from what I understand, and that's not really the case.
Yeah.
And I get that there's a bottom line and a dollar amount, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but you're not doing much for the community to be supportive of you. If your name isn't out there and you're not doing things to get them to tie in, to be involved and want to do stuff. But that's just me and my old man attitude.
But that's true. Like, you know, if you're not going to actively support in some way, shape, or form your gays, your community, then don't be surprised when they don't actively support you. I mean, it's just, I hate to sound like it's just the way it is. Like if a bar were here and they weren't doing anything, like a lot of the bars here do something, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of being at the parade or having an event. There's a bar here in town that every week almost hosts the court that does the drag shows. It's kind of become their home bar. You know, it's just the way it is. The court goes to other bars, but they usually have a show at this bar and people go. And that to me is their way of supporting the community, because that organization then uses their fundraising to support the community in other ways. You know, it just makes sense to me that if I were at a bar that wasn't really supporting me, I wouldn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's the big key piece is, do you feel satisfied with what's happening? And that could lead into a whole other episode discussion about whether or not people are engaged or not anymore. and that's not the point of this. I think it's just about, you know, they serve a purpose, but whether or not the owners in that see that purpose, I don't know. And I've met some very nice, very well-meaning, you know, gay bar owners, and I've met some others that were just purely out for the profit.
Yeah.
And that's the most frustrating thing, especially being a leader of an organization trying to find a host bar to do events or bar nights or anything. And sometimes they're very open to it and other times they're not. And what always stupefies me is the ones who are like, meh, we're not really interested, or eh, I guess so. Like, you know, they're not into it. And you're kind of like, what the hell? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, and I was always kind of pissy because I was like, I'm coming to you. Like, you're not even going out to get the business. Like, you're just taking it for granted that there will always be business. Well, guess what? The moment you do that as a business owner, you have failed and you will implode. Because the moment you presume to know your customer is the moment you kind of screwed it up. That's just me, though. Having seen a lot of businesses come and go, there's too much presumption about it, kind of along the Field of Dreams concept of, if we build it, they will come. That's nice. It takes a lot more effort than that.
Yep.
No matter what it is. And I think that's the case for bars as well. So my hope is that they will continue on. They may become fewer and far between, but, you know, we'll.
In a lot of ways, is that necessarily a bad thing? Meaning, you know, if you oversaturate an area with gay and gay friendly bars and blah, 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 then what happens to it? Dilutes the, you know, the population, dilutes the gays. Like, oh, I can go here or I can go here.
Well, it really depends on the area. We have 6 gay bars here in Austin. I think that's enough. Different types of bars, different places. There's one bear bar. There used to be 2, but the older one closed.
Yeah.
But we still have plenty of gay bars, and it doesn't seem like there's too many gay bars or anything.
So, quick question for you, Jeff. You have a bear bar.
Yes, the Iron Bear.
Do you have a leather bar?
Let me look at the names of the bars. Maybe I can tell. We got Rain, Oil Can, Harry's Bout Tom, the Iron Bear, Highland Lounge, and Cheerlip Charlie's. That's it. Nothing specifically leather. The Iron Bear kind of.
I was just going to say, my impression is that the Iron Bear is a crossover. It's a Leather Bear Levi's type bar.
And because that's one of the things that people here in this city, in Cincinnati, have kind of, I've wondered about. We lost our bear bar, quote unquote, several years ago, and that was Spurs. And it was also kind of a crossover leather Levi bear kind of bar. So the bears kind of scattered. There is not really an established bear bar here in town. We have recently, within the past couple of years, lost our leather bar, and we do not have one anymore. So there's a part of things going on. There's a part of it that's like, I'm sitting there going, oh, you know, I wonder what that now means. But that's probably potentially a topic for another conversation.
Yeah, I think I think it's an ongoing discussion. I don't think it's closed by any means in the imagination.
Mm. And that's the news!
As I've gotten a gentle nudge from the producer.
I need to do laundry. Hello, Daddy.
So now we're going to talk about dicks.
Strangely enough, this picture doesn't include one of those.
Huh.
No, it's color just me right off the shop.
Color me surprise. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
But wait, before it loads, does it have a belly?
Yes.
Survey says yes.
Well, yeah, hello, Daddy. I can say hello to that, Daddy.
Yeah, it's a polar bear with a big old belly.
Mm-hmm.
He's adorable.
He's laying on a towel in the grass somewhere, slightly shaded, but he's naked.
He is definitely naked, unless he's got shoes on. But whatever.
Well, he could technically have shorts or undergarments on, but they're pulled down far enough that you can't tell.
Yeah.
They're pulled down, so he's essentially naked.
I think he's naked. I think his left hand is having fun. That's just
is holding take. Something.
Huh.
Stroking something.
Yeah. Mm. Nice. So.
Oh, my.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh. So mine, I titled He May Be Tired. It's our good friend, J-Mo Bear. And he's called, it says, been a long day of driving. I tired. And it is a picture of J-Mo Bear's beautiful, beautiful ass.
Beautiful everything.
Yeah. Well, yes. Huh?
I'm going to have to say sorry to Fiery Biscuits because I'm now putting J-Mo as our bear on the pedestal. We've been talking about him so much lately. You might as well.
I am fully supportive of this motion. Let it carry. And
passed.
Can I clone him?
God damn it. Yeah.
Yeah, you clone him and just give me a copy and we're good to go.
Because he has a very similar build to someone that we know that I'm just like, yeah.
Yep.
Actually, two people that we know.
Huh?
J-Mo is a little thicker, but I'm like, yeah. Well,
he's and this is a really good picture. I kind of mad that I can't see his face, but that's okay. He may be tired, but that ass is awake. Boom. Just. So, yes. J-Mo Bear on the pedestal. All for that.
Yeah.
Ah.
Uh-huh. If we were competing, I would say I would let Damon take the Tumblr prize this week.
Yay!
Because, yeah. So, I titled mine Never Hide because that's what his tattoo on his hands, on his fingers say. If you bother to pay attention to that.
Aw.
But he is an absolutely adorable auburn cub with blonde bangs. So, and gauged ears and piercings and ink
on and my Tumblr.
Cute little itty bitty nipples. Yeah. And he's got a PA. Yeah. I had like two or three I was going to choose from, and then I was like, oh my.
Well, he is cute. He's got really pretty eyes.
Yes, he does.
Auburn, the dark auburn, almost kind of falling into brown kind of hair is nice, and the tats are nice, and the dick is nice, and I believe he did the Harry and Raw scene with Jeff's old roommate. I'm thinking.
Oh, well, he was one of my roommates.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
So,
there you go.
So yeah, Joss and him were both living in my house at one point in time.
There we go. So now it makes sense. So there you go.
So you were formerly a roommate with this guy?
Yes.
Jealous.
I never got to have sex with him, though.
Oh, hashtag hell. I would have fallen into his lap many a time.
Oh, excuse me. Oh,
by accident. Me. Yeah.
By accident.
But yeah, hey, whatever it takes, because
it for me, and I know it's weird. Yes, he's got the nice belly, and he's got, you know, I like his little nipples, but his eyes, like
he's got gorgeous eyes.
Yeah, like damn,
he's got eyes that I want to be drilling into me while I'm getting drilled by him.
Just saying.
Nice.
I'm owning it. I'm saying yes, absolutely yes. So do we think this is an older photo, though?
I don't know. No, I think that looks newer to me.
Yeah. Okay, because I presumed it was a promo shot for porn. It's too posed.
Yeah.
Plus it has the industrial background and that. And I'm like, all right, someone had pictures taken. And I am not complaining because I like this picture a lot. So
yeah, he's very handsome, and
it's adorbs.
He is very adorable.
Moving on to links. So Google has been doing this like Google Plus business advertising sort of things, building a proud community with Google Plus My Business. And there's a gym called City Gym, which has been catering to FTMs.
Huh. Hmm.
And so this is kind of the story about a guy who made a transition, and he's working out at a place called City Gym. Forgot where it is. I think it's in Houston or something like that. Kansas City.
Yeah.
And the owner has been trying to, has this group of FTM. She's just trying to make, you know, encourage and get in shape and make sure that nobody feels odd or awkward or anything.
Sweet.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah. That is cool. Very cool.
I think that's a new frontier that'll become very interesting in the years to come.
Yeah.
About, it's Planet Fitness, who I have a membership with, that made the news, was it this year or last year, that a woman, I think, went to the front desk and, like, filed a complaint that there was a trans individual in the women's locker room. And this person identifies as a woman. Do you know what I mean? So that's where they went in the women's locker room, and this woman like raised holy hell and basically was like, that shouldn't be allowed, blah, 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 blah. And Planet Fitness told the woman who complained that they had no issue with it. And they actually, I believe, revoked her membership and kicked her out.
Wow.
For being bigoted.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, there you go. Now, that being said, Planet Fitness is a franchise based business. So like, I don't know if it was corporate per se that made the decision. I think most likely it was the local gym that was like, you know what? If you're going to be an asshole, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Because notably, the person who, you know, went into the women's locker room was not doing anything out of the ordinary. Do you know what I mean? Like, wasn't doing anything to make a scene or doing things to cause people harm or make them feel uncomfortable on purpose. It was just that this woman, I guess, figured out that this person was trans and was like, that person shouldn't be in here. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be in here because you're ignorant. So I found that to be pretty interesting. So, yeah, in time to come, I'll be curious to see where that plays itself out. You know, public spaces and all that kind of stuff.
Damon?
This is sort of a real quick, just in honor of this weekend's marriage equality ruling. I love this song. It's Marry Us. It's from, I believe, Naked Man. And this is just a chorus singing it. Many choruses have sung it. And this was just the one I happen to have on my favorites. But it's a very beautiful song and a very beautiful arrangement and very not so much appropriate now, only because the song is kind of saying marry us and now we can. You know, so but I wanted to share it with the everyone just because. So but it's a very pretty song and I really love it. And I'm kind of keeping it short and sweet because I can't listen to the song anymore. So, yeah. The Cincinnati Men's Chorus has sang it. Thank you. We've sung it. Other choruses in the area have sung it. It's a well-known gay men's chorus song. And I believe we've sung this exact arrangement, so.
You know.
Yeah, but.
Speaking of gay choruses, as a sidebar, Damon, did you see my post to your
Yes, wall? I did see your post. I don't know yet what I'm going to do with it, but. But I doubt we're going to get Britney Spears, but.
Well, you don't have to get her. You just have to.
Sing a song of hers and see if she shows up.
Well, I don't care about I don't care about her being in the audience. Oh, I was just impressed with what they did with it.
I'll have to listen. I haven't read the article or seen the article, but I did see it and I was like, ah.
Okay.
Haven't gotten into it.
Yeah.
Long story short, I think it's San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus.
Yeah.
Does Britney's Bitch song.
Work Bitch.
Yeah. You better work Bitch. And it's hysterical in weird ways because they're all dressed in like suits, tuxes, and it's like so they're singing very prim and proper, like professionally, and then they have this dance troupe that's down front with one very nice, like husky bearish guy who's dancing, notably. And they do this whole thing, and then like the lights get into it, like they start doing like discotheque, like it's funny. Like I loved it. And it was, and knowing that Britney was there watching it to me was hysterical because I'm like, how many of these queens are peeing themselves on stage right now knowing that she's in the house watching them do her song? But yeah, it was really, really good. So I basically told Damon, when the Cincinnati Gay Men's Chorus does this number, I will come to Cincinnati just to watch that. I apologize now, but I've got a couple of links.
Apologizing because I'm trying to rush everything along because I want to do a laundry before raid and
because you should have done your laundry on your own time. Anyways,
anyway,
two of the links are series that are on Netflix exclusively. If you have not checked them out, I highly recommend it. The first one is Sense 8. It's by the Wachowskis. If you like their stuff in the past, especially like The Matrix and Jupiter Ascending and what was the other one? Cloud Atlas. If you like that, like kind of multi-layered, multi-character like thing, it's very interesting. It's basically about individuals that have a heightened connection with other people in clusters and how the first season is about them learning about each other. But then, of course, there's this like big, bad, evil corporation and or governments are trying to prevent
it. It's not
that.
Just the Wachowskis. It's also J. Michael Straczynski who did Babylon 5.
Uh-oh. Yes, that too. Although you can tell I wasn't a Babylon person, so that's why I didn't mention it because it doesn't matter to me. Not to negate it, but anyway, so I highly recommend you check it out. There's 12 episodes of the first season. I binge watched it this week because it's I liked it a lot. Other people complained. They watched like three episodes and were like, meh, I can't get into it. And I was kind of like, well, all right. But I'm just warning you now, if you get to episode, I think it's 6, and you see the orgy scene. Anyways.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the question. Is there actually an orgy scene?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You have to, okay.
Just so confirm. So it's not like there's an orgy scene in A, and they get to A, and they're starting to get into it anyways, and there's no orgy scene, then they're mad at you. But
oh,
then
no,
they're
no, no,
happy
no, no,
because
no.
they still got into watch sets A, so.
There's a metaphysical orgy. The basic concept of the series is that people are connected to each other, and they can understand each other's thoughts and feelings. And a series of the cluster all have sex at the same time, so they basically are all having sex with each other, which is shown on screen.
Anyway.
And there is full frontal male in the series. If you care.
If you want to see dick, it's in this series.
And it's there is a debate about the first reveal that it's a prosthetic. I don't give a shit. Okay. Second link, which I just learned about last night. If you are a How to Train Your Dragon fan, exclusive to Netflix as of like 3 days ago, I think.
When, oh, is that
when we're recording?
Wow. No wonder they just surprised about it.
Yeah, they just released it. It's called Dragons Race to the Edge, and it's part of the How to Train Your Dragon franchise. It is from Dean and the whole gang. They got all the proper voice actors, so it's not this weird like Aladdin 2 spinoff bullshit. It's legitimately like the characters. And the only thing I'm going to tell everybody is, because I got confused when I first watched the first episode, this series, which I think is about 12 or 13 episodes long, it's like watching like short cartoon shows. They're about 20 minutes each, I think. The very first episode explains that this whole series takes place 3 years after the first movie. Now, the reason why this is important is because if you saw How to Train Your Dragon 2, that movie, which I watched again last night, takes place 5 years after the first movie.
Ah.
So this series is in between movies 1 and 2.
Nice.
And then movie 3, which is currently being developed, comes out in 2018, I think. So they made an exclusive Netflix series. I highly recommend you watch it. It's fun. It's interesting. I like it. There were a couple other shorts that they came out with that they released that are also available on Netflix. I don't think they're as good, but anyways. The series so far looks really good. I've watched like the first 3 episodes. I'm super excited. But if you haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon 2, I'm not going to spoil it, but a huge thing happens in that movie that does not make sense if you watch the series and you don't know that it's 2 years before the last movie.
So you have to watch the second movie. You should watch the second movie before you watch this movie.
No, you should. If you haven't seen the second movie, watch the series, then watch the second movie, because otherwise there's a major character issue continuity wise. So because when I was watching it, I'll explain when we're done recording, but I was kind of like, wait. And so I had to like put the timeline together to figure it out.
Got it.
Third thing, because I don't want to wait too much longer, we got emails about it and there already have been posts. But if you have not heard, if you're a fan of the Bear City films, Bear City 3 is currently doing a Indiegogo fundraising campaign online. And as of today, they are approximately at 15% of their funding. They're looking for $250,000 or $250,000. There's a ton of perks, a lot of things that they're explaining. They've also stated that this is the third in the trilogy, as in this is the last. So they're not just going to keep making them over and over again. This is going to be the last one. And it continues on with the same major characters and all that. And if you haven't seen the promo video, Jeffrey, then you should watch it because Mr. Hooper's in it.
Yep. I haven't actually watched the video, but I did notice that Mr. Hooper is in it. Is back.
Yes. Yes, he is. So and actually their promo for the fundraiser I thought was hysterical.
Oh, do I want to spend $100 so I can get my photo in the credits again?
Well, you can make the decision later.
Well, and right, and there's a whole bunch of things. There's tons of perks, including perks for organizations and stuff like that. You can have your wedding photo in it. If you have enough money, you can actually have a walk-on role or a walk-on role with like actual lines to read. So they are, by the time this show airs, they will be about 3 weeks away from their end date. I'm hoping for them, just like Where the Bears Are series, which is now shooting season 4.
Which also features Mr. Hooper.
Yes. He's getting around.
He's a true bear celebrity. Although I do have to say, in Gotham, they killed Brad. Is it Brad? Brian? Brent? Fred. Fred.
Thanks.
You lost Damon and I.
You've seen the movies, right? You know, at the end of the second movie and the couple that actually get married?
Right.
The big bearded guy.
Who's the actor's name is Brian.
Yeah.
That's where I got it. He got killed in Gotham.
He did. I forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that up, Jared. Now I feel bad again. Okay.
Oh my God, they killed Fred! I think I actually tweeted it when I watched that scene.
So anyways, there's two series to go check out on Netflix if you have Netflix. And if you don't have Netflix, the links that I provided take you to the title and then you could get a free month trial. So if you do the free month trial thing, you should be able to actually watch both series. You could binge watch them and then stop your subscription service without having to pay anything.
Although you should keep it because there's lots of good stuff on there.
Yeah, I would agree. Like
I Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on there. So if you never actually watch that and want to get caught up.
Wanted to watch it, but I now can't.
Because you don't have Netflix now?
No. Not because of Netflix. I had the series recorded on my DVR.
Okay, well, you've got it on. And it's also the current season, or the last season was on Hulu. Did they finish season three?
This was only season two, I believe.
Oh, so they have both seasons on Netflix.
Wait, of what?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm checking the.
I thought this was season three.
Yeah, no, it was season two. So both seasons are on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Well, yeah, and now the new season, I think, is being titled Secret Warriors.
Hmm.
Coming out this fall.
Which plays into part of the episode, part of the comic series. But anyway, moving right along.
Well, that's it.
Yeah,
that's the end of the show. There's plenty of ways to contact us. You can pop over to our website, comesoutloud.com. Shoot us an email, comesoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us a dirty voicemail at 361-COL-TALK. Leave a message. Play it on the show. You can even call in. You don't have to say your name or anything. Just like talk dirty to us. And we might play it on the show or we might keep it for ourselves.
fat.
Apparently Damon's going to fap to your recordings.
Really? Really, bitch? Really?
Yeah. You said it.
You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Tumblr, cubsoutloud.tumblr.com, where you'll actually see those Tumblr posts reblogged right when we record. So you'll get to see it before you even listen to the show. Nice. Where was I? Twitter.com/CubsOutLoud. Google+ at Google.com/CubsOutLoud. Also, pop over to BearUnderground.net, the official Bear website of Cubs Out Loud. Please rate us on iTunes. Give us a review, 5-star, 4-star, whatever. I'll read your review on the show. You know, the more you rate us, the more you review us, the more people will see our show and come enjoy our goodness. Also, pop over to Stitcher Radio. And you can give us a thumbs up and leave us a review there. We appreciate that very much as well. Find me anywhere on the internet. It's BoxFat, BoxBuckby, BoxCub, Box something or other.
I am TheaterCode79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeavyNet. I am on Bear401, but I'm choosing not to do anything with them anymore. It's been 4 days. And I've not been able to get on a site. So fuck Bear 401.
Anyways, moving on. Gary?
Rant over. I can be found as GearBear73 pretty much anywhere I want to be on the web.
All right. And with that, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Y'all have a good one.
absolutely love how you don't say anything till right before the full theme kicks in.
It's kind of a timing thing. And yeah. Speaking of timing, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear that you have to piss like a racehorse.
What?
Damon or me?
You.
No.
Never mind.
Anyways, I'm going to stop recording so we can talk about how you're training your dragon.